Ah, the sound of music. Rodgers and Hammerstein's song, as sung by Julie Andrews there, the 1965 film that's still shown and shown and shown. One of the most familiar songs in musical history, right? But now give this version a listen.
The hills are alive with the sound.
That's the Brooklyn Rundfunk Orchestrata. The group rearranges the entire score of The Sound of Music for their new album called The Hills Are Alive. We're now joined by the founder of the Brooklyn Rundfunk Orchestrata, Peter Kiesewalter. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Now, we're going to take another listen to what we just heard, because maybe there was a hint here of Start Me Up by the Rolling Stones, maybe a little Foxy Lady by Jimi Hendrix. Let's listen to it again with that in mind.
The sound of music, with songs they have sung for a thousand years.
So tell us your method here.
You know, the lyric in that song, my heart wants to sing every song that it hears. I think Maria in real life and in the film is a conduit for music. She just wants to sing.
My heart wants to sing.
So in reinterpreting that song, I imagined her sitting in front of a radio, and every two bars you hear a different iconic rock riff, as if she was flipping through the radio dials, and hence the schizophrenic nature of that song. There's a lot of, you know, allusions to some pretty famous rock tunes.
Well, let's listen to some of what you went crazy with. This is, for many people, it's a signature song, Climb Every Mountain. So help us to understand the musical choices you made.
It's really hard to remove the image of the movie in some cases. With that particular tune, I just looked at the lyric and used a few light motifs of melody from the actual score, and the lyric just jumped out at me. It's a brilliant lyric and very contemporary and all about positivity and overcoming obstacles, and to me it sounded like a contemporary R&B tune that would not sound out of place on a Mary J. Blige record, for example. So I invited a wonderful Brooklyn-based MC named TK Wonder to come and, you know, expound on the themes of overcoming. And she wrote her own verses, and I included Oscar Hammerstein's original lyric and sprinkled it with a few leitmotifs by Richard Rodgers, and really tried to go for an old-school hip-hop production on that one. And I think it turned out.
16 going on 17 was voiced by a 17-year-old boy named Ralph, who delivered messages from the Austrian version of Western Union to the Von Trapp household, sung to Liesl, the 16-year-old girl who's about to turn 17. And, you know, it's a song between two kids who are just exploring love. You've changed that a little.
I didn't change any lyrics.
There is
a reprise in the show and in the movie where Julie Andrews sings to Liesl from an elder's perspective, telling her to not be in such a hurry to grow up. I felt in this day and age, a 17-year-old boy telling a 16-year-old girl that he'll look out after was a little, a little creepy and maybe a little misogynistic in this day and age. So I definitely went with Julie Andrews' verse and changed the context of it entirely. And I imagined it being sung by a rabbi at maybe this young woman's bat mitzvah, and imagined a surf rock band playing it in a sort of klezmer style.
You may think this kind of adventure never may come to you. Darling, 16, going on 17, wait a year.
Yep, entirely different image in my mind.
Right.
And you contacted the Rodgers and Hammerstein organization?
No, I did not.
they heard about what you were doing. Yeah.
They heard within minutes.
They have people everywhere, you know.
You know, I'll tell you something. They have some souped-up version of Google Alert or something because they are on it. If you sing more than four songs in the shower, they will turn off the water. They know what's going on.
That would explain who took my conditioner.
Uh-huh. Okay. I didn't know that I needed their permission because I could put a band together and do, you know, the Beatles' Abbey Road, and I don't need their permission to play it live at a club. But I've learned a lot about copyright law in the last 14 months, and The Sound of Music falls under a different set of copyright legislation called grand theatrical rights. So when they heard about this show, they contacted me. That's the polite term for it. And I met with them, and I got to say, it was great to meet real human beings behind a notoriously protective organization. And so I went to them and met and told them who I was and what I was doing, showed them charts and arrangements and played them some demos. And within a tune and a half, they said, listen, we love what you're doing. Your timing couldn't be better. And go as crazy as you want with these arrangements. So here I am 12 months later.
Does anybody ever express an interest in booking your orchestra? And do they wind up thinking that you're going to show up with a bunch of toe-headed kids in play clothes made out of the...
You know, the album only comes out this month, and my agents are booking shows beginning this fall. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if some people come to a theater somewhere expecting a production of this, but let me just say, we are not bringing sets. There aren't seven kids. There are no lederhosen. This is a rock band, and we're looking at these songs through the filter of rock and roll and R&B and hip-hop. So if anyone's coming out to expect a theatrical production, you may as well stay home.
Peter Kiesewalter is the founding member of the Brooklyn Rundfunk Orchestrata, and their new album, The Hills Are Alive, features their takes on songs from The Sound of Music. You can hear more on our website, nprmusic.org. Mr. Kiesewalter, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me today.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.